910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Two rulings in 2 days spell possible trouble for President Trump's signature tariffs. The latest setback came hours ago from a U.S. district judge in D.C. who said the president doesn't have the authority for most of his global taxes. Reaction moments ago from the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
We intend to win. We already filed an emergency appeal. We expect to fight this battle all the way to the Supreme Court.
Another setback for the White House is this, a judge ruling it cannot stop Harvard from enrolling international students.
The administration claims that Harvard has failed to create a safe campus environment and that it has fostered anti-Semitism. It has fostered a violent campus environment towards Jewish students. Again, allegations that Harvard denies.
ABC Selena Wang in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where today Harvard is graduating its 374th class. About the Israel-Gaza war, the White House just said Israel has accepted a U.S. proposal for a temporary ceasefire. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is calling on residents to help track bat population trends over the summer. The state's cave bats will be returning to their summer roosts over the next few weeks, which could include places like barns or bat houses. DNR officials are asking residents to track the number of bats they see emerging on one night between June 6th and June 8th, and one night between July 18th and July 20th as part of the Great Wisconsin Bat Count. The bats should emerge just after sunset, and counting typically takes about half an hour. State lawmakers held a hearing on a proposed bill that would give drivers for rideshare and food delivery apps access to additional benefits. The legislation would allow drivers working as independent contractors to access a statewide benefits portal through which their employers could contribute to health care and retirement accounts. Those speaking against the legislation in the hearing noted that those companies are not required to make contributions to the portal, and therefore the benefits included in the portal for those drivers are not guaranteed. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has ruled that small communities do not need permission from the state to stop using electronic voting machines. The decision stems from a lawsuit filed against the town of Thornapple in Rusk County, alleging the town broke state law when it switched from electronic voting machines to hand-counted paper ballots in the April and August elections last year. The decision was 5-1, with Wisconsin Election Commission Chair Ann Jacobs disagreeing with the analysis that found the municipalities don't need the state's permission. A Duluth man accused of stabbing a man who was panhandling before fleeing police has officially been charged with assault. According to court documents, the Duluth Police Department responded to reports of the stabbing near Superior Street and Lake Avenue last Thursday. The victim told officers he had been stabbed in the neck but managed to escape and call for help. After reviewing security footage, 37-year-old James Taylor Jr. was identified as a suspect. When officers caught up to him, he allegedly had a Swiss Army knife and blood on his hands. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are on a roll. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series on the road tomorrow night against the Phillies, the team with the best record in the National League. But Milwaukee's on a roll. They swept the Red Sox with a dramatic 6-5 win yesterday, thanks to Caleb Durbin driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th.
We're scrapping and we're battling, and you've seen it this whole series, but especially the last two games going into extra innings. Like, you could feel that we never thought we were going to lose.
Golf, the U.S. Women's Open underway in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. NFL, the Packers announced training camp begins July 23rd with family night Saturday, August 2nd. Quarterback Jordan Love asked, how much did that MCL sprain in his left knee affect him last season?
I mean, there might be some things here and there that might have been affected by the injury, but I'm never going to, you know, put anything on an injury. You know, I'm going out there, and if I'm healthy enough to go, you know, I'm going to try and give my best and be the best player I can be out there, and I'm always hold myself to a high standard.
That's Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered showers and maybe a small storm popping up this afternoon and into early this evening. Otherwise, tonight, we dry things out and start to warm things up. Highs today will make it to the mid-70s, and by tomorrow, the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house, they got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan will be here to talk about the House budget and things hidden inside. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommer, is back on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along from the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, Wisconsin on State Street. Zommers, welcome back. Glad you're here. It's a little overcast today, but all in all, not too bad. Nice day out here in Madison.
Yeah, and if we take a quick look at the Sam Davison Street cam.
Yes. Look at that.
See, it's a little more bustling than it sometimes is at this hour.
Yes, yesterday we looked out there and it was like a desert. But yeah, people are moving around on bikes, walking around downtown Madison here. Not too bad at all. Glad to have you back. Speaking of Sam Davison, we had him on the show filling in for you yesterday. And it was great because we got to thank him. He's leaving the company tomorrow, and so I'm sure he's not listening now, so it doesn't matter. But we talked about Great Sam's yesterday, and I said Hot Sam, and he had never heard of Hot Sam before. Have you heard of that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I'm not sure if it's in existence anymore, but back in the day, it was one of my favorite, maybe my favorite part of going to West Town Mall, or many malls in the state of Wisconsin, because they had a Hot Sam shop, and a Hot Sam was a pretzel, and kind of the precursor to the Auntie Anne's, which you see today.
Wikipedia, the article on Hot Sam's, or Hot Sam, starts out, Hot Sam Pretzels was an American restaurant chain. Yep, they closed in 2005.
I'm telling you, the country is going to hell in a handbasket.
It's all because of Hot Sam.
It's all because Hot Sam's went out of business. It was great. They had fresh hot pretzels, mustard, cheese sauce, the works. And it was a great meal when he went to the mall. And so I asked, and I explained this to Sam Davis yesterday. I said, would you wear a Hot Sam t-shirt if I got you one? He said, absolutely. So I've ordered
it. We'll figure that. Oh, you found one.
I found one. I ordered it on Amazon, of course, right after the show.
Beautiful.
Sadly, it's not going to arrive until Saturday.
We'll figure it out.
But I thought I'll give him a little card tomorrow, and so we'll send him off with a Hot Sam t-shirt.
That is excellent.
I'm not sure about you. You can hear it in my voice. My voice is starting to go, and I got to fill in tomorrow morning for Kreitlow. On the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow program, it'll be Mornings with Pat Kreitlow with Todd Allbaugh.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow with Todd Allbaugh without Pat Kreitlow.
Right. And so I'm happy to do it after he hosted us up there at Lake Wissota last week. But I got to go to bed early, and I got to do 5 hours tomorrow.
I got to drink some tea with honey or something like that.
My allergies are just bogging me down. And then, of course, yesterday I found out I have a fatty liver. So I'm falling apart.
What an excellent day.
Right? But you were off yesterday. You had a little eye thing, and you're fine.
Yeah, I had my eye checkup after last year. They had some concerns last year, but like I had a lot of floaters, which means that
I've had those.
It is possible that my retina could become detached.
Yeah. You don't want that.
That's not good.
No.
But I have not had more floaters since last year, and my prescription has remained stable.
Good.
Basically no change in the right eye, slightly worse in the left eye. Mm. And so I don't need new glasses, and they said I can come back in 2 years instead of one.
Look at that. See? Another reminder, particularly to us men who too often don't take care of ourselves, go get your checkup, get yourself. Because you could address things when you know about it early. I found out apparently I'm at stage zero of fatty liver disease. So, and I found out it's reversible or nearly reversible with a good diet and exercise. So
it'll take some work, but you can fix it.
Yeah. So that's my new project, taking care of my liver. But it's going to be a great show today. Coming up in hour two, what's worse today, too busy or nothing to do? To me, this is an easy one, but we'll talk about that hour two. And also at hour two, be ready. Think about, I'm not sure about you, Somers. I've had these kind of relationships where you get into a relationship, it burns fast and bright, and then it's over. And then you're broken up. And so there is a big breakup in Washington, D.C. Elon Musk has announced he's leaving Donald Trump, or at least stepping down, as he calls it, from heading Doge, the made-up agency of Department of Government and Energy or whatever, efficiency.
Efficiency.
Yeah, that's it. I'm on a lot of sinus meds today, folks. It could be a very interesting show. So anyway, Musk is leaving Trump. And so I thought it'd be a good day to talk about have you got a good breakup story? Did you meet someone? It was hot and heavy, and then it was over. And also, we'll take a look, according to Billboard magazine, the top 100 breakup songs.
We're going to listen to the entirety of all 100.
No, we're not. But wouldn't that be something? So we're going to talk about breakup songs and breaking up. Breaking up is hard to do. But not for Elon Musk, who is leaving, saying this is too much. And I find it interesting, maybe the nail in Musk's coffin in his dabbling into U.S. government was the fact that he lost a big race. He put $20 million to help Brad Schimmel win the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin and got his posterior kicked by Susan Crawford.
Trump doesn't like losers.
No. Suckers and losers, as he says. So anyway, that we're going to talk about breakups and breakup songs in hour two as well. Coming up, though, in about 5 minutes or 10 minutes or less, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is traveling around the state. Going to talk about some of her travels, what Wisconsinites are telling her all across the state of Wisconsin. And also, the Joint Finance Committee expected to go into executive session here this week and some of the things she's hearing. And also, from the Evers Rodriguez point of view, what do they want to see in this budget? And is there a way to reach a compromise so that we don't get in a position where there is no state budget? Because in Wisconsin, of course, unlike in Washington, D.C., if the legislature and governor cannot decide on a budget, it simply, government does not shut down. It just continues on at the last budget levels. So we'll talk to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about all of that coming up in just a minute as well. Jeff Perry, our friend and ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, unfortunately, Todd, I have a fat head, which is not reversible. Isn't that a company that does those pictures that you can put up on a wall?
Or which company?
Fathead.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think you can get sports figures. You can send in your own picture and then it goes up on the wall. Dave in New Berlin texting in on the Civic Media app says, Todd, I've got a 54th birthday. I have 54 birthdays behind me too. I've never heard of Hot Sam's. Really? Well, I don't know, Dave. Did you grow up in Wisconsin? Did you go to the mall back in the 70s and 80s? It was a big thing for us. We come in from Richland Center and, ooh, get to have a Hot Sam.
Anyway, so we'll talk about all that in a minute. But also, I want to point this out, Sommers. Today marks the 177th birthday of the state of Wisconsin. Happy birthday to us.
Woo!
Exactly. There you go. But yeah, we turned 177 today. Of course, the first territorial capital of the state of Wisconsin, down in Belmont, Wisconsin, as my former professor at UW-Platteville, Jack O'Neill, was fond of saying, the crossroads of the nation. And I looked this up today because I thought, is Belmont really the crossroads of the nation? And apparently not now. Now I believe the crossroads technically, meaning the exact halfway point between the west and east coast of the country, is now, I believe, in Kansas, a town in Kansas. But for a brief time in, I've got it written down, just hang on. I got to go over here to my bag. 2 seconds. Sorry, it was out of reach. Because I wrote this down, I thought I'm going to be accurate. So it was for a brief time in 1836, for all of you history buffs out there, in 1836, Belmont, Wisconsin, was indeed the crossroads of the nation.
Huh. Well, there you go. You learn something every day.
So Jack was right. Not that I thought he was wrong, but he was right. At one time, Belmont, Wisconsin, the first territorial capital of Wisconsin, was indeed the crossroads of the nation. And so they were going to have the state capital down there, and then they were meeting in the dead of winter. This is a true story. Meeting in the dead of winter, and a guy who owned a bunch of swampland in a place called Madison went down there. He had a bunch of beavers and stuff, and he was a trapper. And so he took all these furs in a horse and cart or wagon, went down to Belmont, went in where the territorial state legislature was meeting, and he said, gentlemen, they're all men at that point, gentlemen, I know you have an important vote coming up here in the next couple of days on where the permanent capital of Wisconsin should be, this great state of ours. And I would hope that you would consider Madison. And by the way, I happen to bring you all a gift of furs, the fur coats, furs, to keep you warm in this, because it's just a little clapboard, uninsulated house down in Belmont. It's still there. If you go to Belmont, Wisconsin, you can visit the first territorial state capital. And so he said, I'm going to give you this gift of furs and leave you to your work. Oh, and also, as a side note, if you were to relocate the capital of Wisconsin from Belmont to Madison, I would be so gracious that I would give you each a plot of land on which to build a home.
So bribery is why Madison's the capital.
100%. And a couple of days later, they took a vote. Let's move to Madison.
Unanimous, I'm sure.
I don't know if it was unanimous, but that's a true story. That is how Madison, Wisconsin, ended up being the capital. Because where we sit right now, there's a little, you go up State Street here, and the capital sits, I don't want to call it a hill, but it's elevated.
Elevated slightly, yeah.
And that's all fill. They brought in all that dirt.
Punxsutawney fill?
I don't know. They brought in dirt and rocks and everything and filled it in and built the Capitol on that. So there you go. As my former history teacher, Ken Lewis, is fond of saying, hitherto unknown facts.
It all comes down, as Jack O'Neill said, it all comes down to the dollar sign.
Exactly right. Maybe that's what we're going through this thing. They want us to do merch, which is great. But I'm trying to, and so what should we have on our t-shirt? Maybe we should just have a dollar sign.
Maybe you need to contact.
And it says it all comes down to that.
Maybe you need to pay royalties to your past teachers and professors.
I'm sure they would appreciate that. I'm sure they would appreciate that. But first, we got to sell something. I think a dollar sign with it all comes down to that. That's pretty good, Sommer.
That could work.
I think that could absolutely work. All right, we'll come back here in a second and talk to Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who is on this state of Wisconsin birthday. Find out what's on her mind. Find out what she's hearing from people all across the state of Wisconsin. And also talk about the state budget. There is a $4 billion plus state surplus. How should our tax money be used? Talk about all that next with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin, Lake Gitchagumi, here on a Thursday, May 29th, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever you may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th, 2025. Glad to have you along as I fight my allergies here. I apologize for the voice today, but we'll get through it. Pleased to have our next guest here joining us via StreamYard. Welcome her back to the show. She is Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor. Sarah Rodriguez is here with us. And Lieutenant Governor, first and foremost, happy 177th birthday to the state of Wisconsin.
Woohoo! Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us once again. I was telling this story in the last segment there before you came on, and it's only because my former boss, Dale Schultz, represented Belmont for many, many years, and now the late, great state legislator, Steve Freese, who represented that area as well, he was a great historian, and he told it much better than I did, but how Belmont was, of course, the first territorial capital, and it was a fur trader and landowner in Madison who went down and basically bribed the legislature in the middle of winter with furs and plots of land to move from Belmont to Madison. And so, Wisconsin kicked off, our statehood with a bribe. Not too much different than what we're seeing today, right? In Washington.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I always enjoy that story, but on this birthday of Wisconsin, as our lieutenant governor, just personally speaking, what are some of your you've been traveling around the state a lot. What are some of your favorite parts about this state in which we live?
You know, it's funny. I love all the different parts of the state. I particularly love the Driftless region. That is a gorgeous part of the state with all of the different rock formations. It's fantastic. But we have so many lakes here in Wisconsin, too. And my family, every summer, we pick a different place to go. We rent a house, we rent a boat, and we do nothing for a week. And it is amazing. We get a 1,000-piece puzzle. We make food at the house and we just do absolutely nothing. And Wisconsin, I think, is becoming more known for all of these outdoor activities that you can do, whether that's hiking, biking, fishing, boating, all of these things that we can do. We've got the Ice Age Trail now that you could do the entire state if you wanted to go backpacking. That is my favorite part about Wisconsin, and that it's all four seasons. So we can do something in the winter, the fall, the spring, the summer. As long as you have the right clothes on, you are good to go to do anything you want outside.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of people that travel more than me, but I've been outside the country and traveled quite a bit inside the country. And I tell people I love to travel, but whether I'm driving back or flying back, I'm never sorry to be coming back to Wisconsin. Just for all the reasons that you just said, I truly do feel it is one of the best places to live in the United States.
I do. I mean, of course it is.
Right?
Of course. Of course
what's
it
our
is.
Lieutenant Governor going to say, right?
Is the best place. But I mean, honestly, you know, I grew up here. I ran away a little bit for school. But when I had my two kids, this is where I knew I wanted to raise them. And so when they were little and small, we moved back to make sure that we could raise our kids in Wisconsin, near family, really good school districts here, safe community kind of experience. We wanted to raise them in the Midwest. And that is because Wisconsin's so fantastic. It's so beautiful here. The people are kind and generous. And it's a great place to raise a family.
That really is. Oh, we're going to come back after the break here, get more into the nitty gritty of the policy and things going on right now in the state of Wisconsin. But we got about 3.5 minutes here before we go to break, Lieutenant Governor. As you've traveled around here lately, around the state of Wisconsin, give us two or three of the top issues right now you're hearing from Wisconsinites that are on their mind.
Well, yeah, I've been, I go to all 72 counties every year. I've done that every year. I've been lieutenant governor, and I'm well on my way this year to complete 72 counties. And the last couple of weeks, I've been really talking about the budget and talking to folks who are out there in the community in different parts of the state, talking about our administration's budget and having that conversation as well about the federal budget and the federal cuts that may be coming and things that have already been cut, that they've had their grants frozen or they're unable to submit receipts to get reimbursement. And what I'm hearing from folks is whether you're a not-for-profit who's trying to take care of vulnerable people, vulnerable kids, older adults, or you're a small business owner, this chaos at the federal level makes it so difficult to plan. So people are just hunkering down, trying to figure out and read the tea leaves about what's happened on the federal level. And what they're asking from me and from the administration is we need some stability in Wisconsin. We need us to make sure that we are investing in Wisconsinites because we cannot rely on the federal government to be able to plan for our business, for our organization, for our kids and our families. And that's really hard for people to be able to figure out what they're going to be doing moving forward if they can't rely on what's happening at the federal government.
I'd be interested to get your take on this, because what I hear as we travel with our show around the state, very similar to what you just said, but people are telling me, Todd, I just get overwhelmed. I can't listen to the news all day because it gets depressing. But I think you just said it so well that while I get it, it does get depressing with this fire hose of bad news every day out of D.C. What you just said, we as Wisconsinites are going to feel the effects of those decisions.
We absolutely are. You talk about some of these federal cuts. We are already feeling the effects of some of these federal cuts. You know, my dad, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in his 60s. We use the Aging Disability and Resource Center to be able to find him resources. That a lot of that funding comes from Medicaid.
Yeah.
So Medicaid helps people with disabilities, helps aging adults, and those services that they provide are funded through Medicaid in some way. So if we're talking about cuts to Medicaid, that's going to affect so many different services across the state.
Yeah, it absolutely is. My dad was diagnosed with dementia about a year ago, so we're looking at the same types of things, and nursing homes obviously as well. We're going to talk more about the effects of federal cuts to Wisconsinites and also what's happening at the state capitol in regards to the state budget. Don't go anywhere. It's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the All Balls Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The phrase, April showers bring May flowers, well, in the Beaver Dam area, that's definitely the case. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. And coming up June 13th through the 15th, Wisconsin will celebrate its Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival in the Beaver Dam area. Michelle Ovens is one of the participants. She owns and operates Ovens Peony Farms in Beaver Dam. She's got about 100 varieties of different peonies that she'll be presenting. And she said, while many people enjoy the beauty of the flower, they have to recognize and respect the economic punch it can deliver.
When we first started this, the state of Wisconsin Tourism, they reported 900 people coming to the farm here, and that generated over $130,000 in the community. Well, can you imagine if we have 5,000 people, what that generates in the community for gas, for lodging, for food? The economic impact for the community through this agritourism is just incredible. And that's really one of the big motivating factors for us to bring these events through agritourism to the public.
Michelle Ovens from Ovens Peony Festival, one of the hosts for the upcoming Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival. The other reason why it's a big deal this year is the American Peony Society conventions held during the festival. That's going to bring enhanced attendance, Ovens says, and they only come to Wisconsin once every 8 to 10 years.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And we're just learning how successful this year's Midwest Horse Fair was back in April. Show organizers say that Saturday had an attendance record broken with over 25,000 fairgoers on hand, 60,000 through the course of the weekend. They hosted 37 breed and discipline groups, 800 horses, and 37 stallions. That's Food News. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered showers and maybe a small storm popping up this afternoon and into early this evening. Otherwise, tonight, we dry things out and start to warm things up. Highs today will make it to the mid-70s and by tomorrow, the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, TV producer Mary Picorni Donlan makes the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kapeski from Appleton Cigar joins me in studio. Then author Laura Enright joins to talk vampires.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, May 29th. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have him back. And also right now, joining us for this next segment once again, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins us via StreamYard on this, the state of Wisconsin's 177th birthday. Sean in Richland Center, listening on WRCE, says, I believe it was James Doty who bribed people to vote for Madison. Also think Madison beat out Cassville by one vote for being the state capital. Thank you, Sean. I think you're right about it was James Doty who did that, but I did not know that Cassville lost by one vote. As they say in the movie, just a bit outside. How about that, Lieutenant Governor? Had it not been for a bribe, you'd be, you know, meeting down in Belmont. You and I are one of our favorite places, Southwest Wisconsin. The
Driftless. There you go. Absolutely.
Again, you've been traveling around the state. And before the break there, just talking about that you were hearing from people the anxiety of what's happening in Washington and how this lands back here at home in Wisconsin. And for some people, that's for the Medicaid cuts, Medicare. Explain just again how this works, because I know we've had, and I guess not just that, but another issue that I think is really important you can talk about if you'd like. We had people on this show here, Zommer's, a couple weeks ago from Barron County that ran a child care center there. And they were down here lobbying the legislature for money because, as it turns out, child care in this state was already kind of in danger in terms of not being able to make it financially. Then the pandemic comes along. We get federal funding through for the pandemic COVID money from the feds. That is running out. And what we're hearing, and I'd be interested to hear what you've heard, Lieutenant Governor, is that a lot of places, particularly in rural Wisconsin, are saying, look, we can't charge what child care centers in Madison and Milwaukee do because our clients don't have that kind of income. And without some sort of state help, we're going to go out of business.
Yeah, I'm hearing that as well. And the governor we've included in our budget child care counts, which are dollars that can go towards these child care agencies that would be helpful and to be able to subsidize some of kind of middle income folks. So when I speak to some of the child care agencies, you know, the lower income folks who qualify for 100% subsidies, they're probably going to still be okay. The wealthier people, they could probably take a little bit of an increase in their child care costs. It's people like me, right? I'm a nurse. You know, I'm not a super well, wasn't a super wealthy person and not a super wealthy person now. Those are the kind of people who are going to suffer because they're not getting any subsidies from the state for their child care. And to be able to absorb that into a family budget, it is so expensive. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So expensive to be able to put your kids in child care. And that is what I'm hearing from people, and that the spots just aren't available. And so some people have wanted to go back to work, but couldn't find a spot for their child. And so ended up staying at home until their child was 6 months, 9 months, a year, until they could get a child care slot. It is a crisis in Wisconsin. Governor Evers and I, we have some really good pieces in the budget to be able to address this. We are working with the Republican Joint Finance Committee, and they have to know it's a crisis as well within their communities. So wanting to make sure that we keep that in the budget moving forward.
Before we get into the budget specifically, another program that I wanted to just highlight and get your take on as you've traveled around the state, Lieutenant Governor, is this issue of what's commonly known as food stamps. Now they're called SNAP benefits here in the state of Wisconsin. What are you hearing about this and these implications of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how that transcends down to Wisconsin?
Well, and I will tell you that we had to put our budget together here in Wisconsin before we knew what type of cuts that the Republicans in Washington were going to be proposing. And so now we're having to play a little bit of catch up, just like businesses can't prepare and plan. You know, state governments can't prepare and plan if we have this level of chaos going on at the federal government. If the bill goes through as written through the House right now, that's an extra $350 million that is going to be hitting our taxpayers here in Wisconsin that we would have been able to get from the federal government that we didn't have time to prepare for. So, you know, that is something that we're going to have to figure out. Either we have to put in an additional $350 million into SNAP benefits, which is food, by the way. It is food for people. We don't want kids to go hungry. We don't want older adults to go hungry in Wisconsin. I know my neighbors don't want that, Republicans, Democrats. And we did not have a chance, or we have to restrict benefits. Those are the two choices that we have. Either we have to be able to put those dollars in, or we have to restrict benefits. And we certainly don't want to do either of those things. We want the federal government to continue to do what they've said they were going to do and match it at the same percentage.
Yeah. And just one more quick note on this, because my former party now, they like to spend a lot of time on, oh, geez, maybe we should decide what people are on SNAP are going to eat. Like, we don't want them to get candy bars or soda. There's always going to be a case or two or three. And then those are just blown up as to, well, everybody's doing it, right? I mean, I remember when I was working for the state Senate and you know, I don't care anymore because I've long left politics. But in a closed Senate Republican caucus, then State Senator Glenn Grothman, now United States Congressman Glenn Grothman, spent 10 minutes talking about how he didn't think that people on SNAP should be able to buy Skittles. Skittles! It got down, well, you know, if they want to do it, they should do it, but not on taxpayer. But this is just a fallacy, is it not, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez?
It is. And that's the thing that bothers me. You know, I'm a nurse by background and often work with vulnerable communities. What do the numbers say? What does the data say? The vast majority of food that is purchased is regular healthy food. I mean, that's what they're purchasing. They're not purchasing Skittles. They're not purchasing. They could rarely do that. But here's what you're telling people. You can't get a birthday cake for your child. Mm-hmm. You can't throw a party and maybe get some cupcakes for the school. Like, are you kidding me? That's the level of micromanagement at what we're going to do to families who are just trying to get by and survive. I mean, come on. It's just absolutely silly.
It really is. Let's move on to the budget at large here. Of course, Wisconsin has a biennial budget, meaning it's every 2 years. And unlike Washington, D.C., if the legislature and the governor can't come to an agreement, we continue on current levels for another 2 years. People hope that that doesn't come to that. Help us sort this out, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. You know, you hear all kinds of different things. The Republican legislature, Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Lemahieu. Well, you know, the governor doesn't want to negotiate or sit down. The governor says he's waiting for Republicans to talk to him. Help real Wisconsin. I mean, I think most people, not political nerds like me, just say, look, you guys are elected to work this out. We have a $4 billion surplus. What gives? Give us the inside scoop, Lieutenant Governor.
Well, you know, it is frustrating. And they have been talking to each other. They've absolutely been talking to each other. So this narrative that the governor is not willing to come and discuss anything, it's simply not true. They've been having conversations and, you know, they want to make sure that they're having some of these lower level conversations before they bring in some of the decision makers on what they're going to do for some compromises on the budget. But the reality is that the Joint Finance Committee basically stripped down the governor's budget, which is what they call base budget, and then they're kind of adding pieces in here and there. But they, you know, they have control in that Joint Finance Committee. The Republicans do. But at the end of the day, they know that there are really important priorities for the governor, whether that's education. We know he's the education governor, whether that's healthcare, trying to bring in some additional revenue into the state, you know, making sure we can have appropriate funds for childcare. And I am hopeful that they are going to continue to have conversations in good faith, that they are going to produce a budget that the governor can sign. Because at the end of the day, he does have that line item veto power. He can do some of those pieces, but he also has the power to veto the entire budget if he chooses to. Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of things that we want to make sure doesn't happen. We want to have a budget on July 1st when it is required to be completed. July 1st. Mm-hmm. When it's required to be completed, that's what we want. I imagine that's what the Republicans want as well. So let's just get to work. I think you're right. When I talk to people all over the state, they're just like, we don't care. We just want you to work for the betterment of Wisconsinites. That's what we want. We're tired of the partisanship.
Is there anything to this that Republicans now are considering instead of doing what would be called an omnibus budget bill? That's political talk for putting everything in the same pot and passing it like we usually do, kind of breaking this out into individual bills to try to usurp the governor's veto pen? Or do you think that's just hyperbole and hype?
You know, there's all sorts of rumors out there about what they're going to do, but they have to be able to be responsive to their voters in 2026 about why they didn't want to invest in childcare, why they didn't want to invest in healthcare, why they wanted to leave people hungry in schools. You know, so I would very much hope that they are going to be working in good faith and that we can come to a compromise for July 1st.
What are those things in the budget, of course? Is our state university system. There's a story on Channel 3000 this morning, a CBS affiliate here in Madison. UW-Madison campus leaders said today that they were ready to support students after U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the government would begin revoking the visas of some Chinese students. And then later on, it says, we are deeply concerned about the impact of such a policy on our Chinese student community, unquote, according to a UW statement. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, break this down for us a little bit, because our university system, whether people like to know it or admit it or not, there is a business side to this. And foreign students pay more than Wisconsin in resident students. And if this were to go through, not only do I think it would degrade the university experience by not having another view in your colleagues or your classmates, but there's a real financial burden for the state of Wisconsin if this goes through as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So if you think about it, in-state, out-of-state tuition, right? You know, I mean, we all know about that, that if you go to a different state, you're going to pay out-of-state tuition. And we know that that's more expensive. So when we have students from overseas who come into the UW system, which is a significant portion of our student body, I mean, I'm worried about those Chinese students as well and the community there and all international students. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the vast majority of them pay full fare.
Correct.
They pay 100% of the tuition. And so what happens is, if we lose those students, if we lose those international students, guess what? Wisconsinites in-state tuition is going to go up, because they're going to have to be able to still continue to provide the services that they have within the UW system with less money. So that is going to impact Wisconsin students as well. So even though you may think, I always say this, you may think these decisions that are happening in Washington, D.C. has nothing to do with what's happening in Madison or what's happening in Viroqua, Wisconsin. It is. There's all sorts of effects from these cuts and from these political decisions that are being made with no thought to what the consequences might be on the ground.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, always appreciate your time. You are part of what makes Wisconsin great. We come back soon and we will talk more. We thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, when we come back, the 14 best places to live in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Tell All Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up in hour two, another thrilling edition of What's Worse. Well, we hope it's thrilling. Are you too busy or nothing to do? What's worse? We'll talk about that in hour two. Also, be thinking. Put your thinking caps on. We want you to call or text in with your worst breakups. Have you had a relationship where you went out with someone, you were in a, it was fast, it was hot, and then it was over, like a comet. It just, did you break up? And what, do you have a favorite breakup song? Because Elon Musk and Donald Trump are breaking up. Elon Musk announced.
Well, they're still going to be friends.
It's not you, it's me.
Neither of them would say that.
No, absolutely not. Well, we played it yesterday, this cut. It's an interview coming up on CBS's Sunday Morning. They're interviewing Elon Musk. They interviewed him. It was going to play on Sunday. And Musk said that, basically called out Trump, because Trump calls the reconciliation bill his quote-unquote big, beautiful bill, which is nice marketing, I guess. But Elon Musk says, well, you can either have a big bill or a beautiful bill, but I don't think you can have both.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong about that. So, you know, now Musk announces last night or this morning that he's leaving Doge, his made-up department of government efficiency, doggy, I like to call it. Leaving that tomorrow, his last day. Just like Sam Davidson, it's his last day tomorrow. We're not going to send Musk a hot Sam t-shirt.
But for Sam, though, anything.
Anything for Sam. So anyway, we're an hour or two, we're going to talk about breakup songs. What's your best breakup song? Article in the Milwaukee Journal said, by the way, thank you to Lieutenant Governor. I knew that was going to happen. I apologize. These darn sinuses. Many thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for making time for us. I mean, Zobbers, that's somebody that she's a real person. You can have a real conversation. She doesn't give you spin or talking points. She just tells you what she knows and what she's hearing. And I appreciate it about her.
And it's clear that she is talking to Wisconsinites.
Yes.
And more importantly, listening to Wisconsinites.
Listening to Wisconsinites. So there's a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. This is from USA Today today, which I love saying. According to U.S. News and World Report, they have listed the 14 best places to live in Wisconsin. Now, why is it 14? Why not 15? Just round it off like that.
I'm guessing that there could be a few reasons. Number one, AI-generated list.
Could be.
I hope it's not that.
I hope
But that's
not.
One reason. Yeah. Number two, the 15th was a place that the person has a personal vendetta against.
Well, I don't think this is it's a well-written article. I just thought it was interesting they chose 14.
Yeah, or maybe because not 15. Now we're talking about it.
Now we're talking about it. Exactly. I mean, maybe that's it. It's like, well, everybody does 15. So let's do
just
14.
Make it a little quirky.
Let's see if we can get through these. According to U.S. News and World Report today, number 14, Milwaukee. All the way down at 14. Ooh. Milwaukeeans would disagree, I'm sure. Number 13, Racine. A lot of people say Racine, but if you're from there, Racine. Number 12, Fond du Lac. Number 11, according to U.S. News and World Report, the city in which Zomers and I are in, the state capital, Madison, Wisconsin. Number 10, La Crosse. Number 9, Kenosha. Number 8, Janesville. Number 7, a stone's throw from Zomers' hometown, Sheboygan. Sheboygan, the number 7 best place to live in Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Number 6, home of your Green Bay Packers and WGBW and Civic Media, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Number 5, our own Chad Holmes must have stuffed the ballot box, Wausau. Wausau, WXCO, coming in at 5. Number 4, Oshkosh Bagosh, home of WISS on Civic Media. Now we're into the top 3 places, best places to live in Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Number 3, home of WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Waukesha at number 3. Number 2, some of our great callers, Appleton, Wisconsin, home of Harry Houdini. Appleton, Wisconsin. And the number 1 place to live in the state of Wisconsin, according to U.S. News and World Report. Can you guess, Summers? What places have I not named yet?
Yuba.
That is a great guess.
It is a place you haven't listed.
It is a place, Yuba, Wisconsin, in Richland County. Great place. Lots of Czechoslovakians there. But no, that is not incorrect. And it's not Richland Center either. Number 1 place to live in the state of Wisconsin is home of WCFW The Tap, Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
That's cool. That
makes sense. How about that?
That makes sense, especially, you know, the arts are really continuing to build steam there.
Yeah. My sister lives there, brother-in-law, nieces, was just up there last weekend. They've got the Pablo Center at the Confluent, a great performing arts building. They've got a lot of cool shops. Their downtown is pretty vibrant. Home of UW Eau Claire,
which is a great school.
Great school. The alma mater of our very own Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. And it's just it's a cool city. They have lots of things to do there. Good quality of life. Shopping, all that kind of stuff. So congratulations to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for being named the number one place to live in the state of Wisconsin by U.S. News and World Report. Congratulations. I think that's pretty cool. Get some recognition there. So there you go. That's the entire list, according to U.S. News and World Report. We're going to do a little news, weather, and sports. Come on back in hour number two. What's worse? And breaking up is hard to do, but Trump and Musk have done it. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Now, two federal judges have struck down most of President Trump's tariffs. A second ruling today from a federal district court judge in Washington ruled President Trump does not have the legal authority to impose tariffs on an emergency basis. You might call it self-dozing. First Elon Musk and now the highest levels of his Department of Government Efficiency are exiting Washington. A federal judge is stopping the Trump administration from revoking Harvard's ability to enroll international students. Professor Nancy Gibbs with the Harvard Kennedy School tells ABC News.
In a way, this is about all of higher education all over the country. This is about students all over the country. This is about research and progress all over the country and all over the world. This is in no way is this just about Harvard. We just happen to be the face of it, but this is about everyone.
Reports say Israel and Hamas may have a 60-day ceasefire deal. The White House says it's a U.S. plan, but didn't confirm a truce. This is ABC News.